This is Senator Bob Dole. It's time for the United Nations to open its eyes to Castro's massive human rights violations. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the United Nations has a commission to look into human rights violations around the globe. But it seems to look a lot harder for violations by right-wing governments, and it closes its eyes to massive violations by communist regimes. Castro's Cuba is the biggest winner. Last year, we tried to get the commission to look at Castro's repeated human rights abuses, but it refused to put the issue on its official agenda. Apparently, it's off limits to criticize Fidel Castro, or for that matter, Mikhail Gorbachev, who spouts glasnost while repressing religion and prohibiting Jews from emigrating. If the United Nations is to be credible, it has to do something about abuses wherever they occur. How about it, Ted? Do you subscribe to the same double standard the United Nations uses?
Earth to Bob Dole, Earth to Bob Dole. You're obviously in your right-wing orbit today, Bob, so I hope I'm making contact. Before you blast it off, you should check the facts. The UN Commission ought to investigate abuses of human rights in Cuba, but the administration didn't do its homework. The UN diplomats saw it as a propaganda stunt, not as a serious proposal, and we lost a close vote, 19-18, when all the Latin American nations went against us. If the administration does it the right way instead of the far-right way, Bob, we can win the next vote and launch a proper investigation. Contrary to your snide comment, the UN Commission has investigated human rights violations in plenty of communist regimes. I've also spoken out clearly against rights abuses in Cuba, especially their cruel treatment of political prisoners. So cut the propaganda, Bob, and let's win the next vote in the United Nations. This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on food radiation. Is it safe? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. How concerned is Bob Dole about radiation of the food supply? In a moment, we'll find out on Face Off. Bob, I don't know about your mail, but thousands of constituents have been writing to me in recent weeks to talk about their concern over radiation of the food supply. More and more processors are using the technique to destroy bacteria and insects by exposing food to low-level radiation. The idea has been used since the 1960s to reduce infestation in wheat and stop potatoes from sprouting. But last April, the administration adopted new regulations permitting the expanded use of radiation for fruit, vegetables, and other produce to delay spoilage and increase shelf life in the supermarket. That expansion is premature, Bob. Conflicting reports by experts have raised doubts about its wisdom and safety. There may be benefits in this use of radiation, Bob, but shouldn't we settle the serious health and safety issues first before these food products hit the market?
Ted, if it were up to you, we would still be studying the safety of the automobile while prohibiting its use. Radiation of food is nothing new. As you indicated, it has been used for wheat and potatoes for more than 20 years. It's also been used at least that long with spices. And in 1983, it was approved for use with pork to control the bacteria which can cause trichinosis. That's the bottom line, letting technology help deliver the safest and most nutritious food to the consumer. Of course, we have to ensure proper radiation levels at all times, and I'm with you on that one. What's really interesting, Ted, is that this technology has been studied for more than 40 years right in your own backyard at the U.S. Army's labs in Natick, Massachusetts. I think your constituents are doing a fine job, Ted. Why don't you give them a call or stop by and visit someday? This is Senator Bob Dole. I say we cannot ignore the Soviet Union's military buildup in Nicaragua. Will Ted oppose even this? Find out tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Bob Dole. Uncle Sam wants peace, but we won't hand the Marxist a blank check for mischief in Central America. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the Arias peace plan for Central America is okay as far as it goes, but it ignores the most dangerous problem in Nicaragua, the huge Soviet and Cuban military buildup there. Even your Democratic House leader and Contra 8 opponent, Jim Wright, agrees with me. The Arias plan would cut off aid to the freedom fighters, but would let Moscow keep pouring military supplies to the Marxists. That's not a recipe for peace. I proposed a solution: separate talks involving the U.S., the Sandinistas, and the Contras to resolve the Soviet-Cuban question and to guarantee real democracy. How about it, Ted? Even you want to see the Soviets go home, don't you?
Bob, it's easy to see why you right-wing supporters of the Contras are running around like hawks with your heads cut off. A peace scare is breaking out in Central America, and you don't know how to stop it. For 7 years, Bob, you and the administration have had a war policy instead of a peace policy on Nicaragua. You snub diplomatic initiatives, undermine peace efforts by countries in the region, and tried to force a military solution by funneling illegal U.S. aid to the Contras. The strategy failed, Bob, and landed the administration in the quagmire of Iran-Contra crisis. Now the nations of Central America, including Nicaragua, are trying again to find a formula to resolve their differences. The recent agreement on the peace plan offered by President Arias of Costa Rica is a breakthrough. But as President Arias said, there are still 1,000 obstacles to peace. Unfortunately, Bob, you're one of them.
This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on Dirty Tricks by the Republican Party in the last election. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Republican Party was caught red-handed intimidating minority voters in 1986. Now they've promised not to do it again in 1988. In a moment, Bob Dole and I will face off. Bob, one of the most shameful dirty tricks of 1986 was the Republican Party's so-called ballot security program, the attempt to hold down Democratic votes by purging citizens from the voting rolls in black and Hispanic election precincts. That unfair scheme was exposed a few weeks before Election Day, Bob, and it created a backlash that helped elect Democratic candidates in closely contested races. The Democratic Party took the issue to court in order to prevent a repetition of those discredited tactics in 1988. Recently, the Republican National Committee threw in the towel. It agreed not to use ballot security programs again unless they're approved in advance by a federal court. Let's wage elections fair and square, Bob. It shouldn't take a court order to stop Republican dirty tricks.
Ted, intimidation of voters has no place in Bob Dole's America. That's why I fought long and hard to guarantee free and clear access to the ballot box for all Americans. But Ted, again, you're really not telling the whole story. The so-called ballot program came about for one reason. Research indicated that in certain Democratic precincts, the voting ranks were being padded by the deceased. That's right, and those who had passed away were still voting, and voting for Democrats. I'm glad our party chiefs have settled their differences out of court. The ballot program can continue once the courts and the Democratic Party are given prior notice. Ted, let's work together to make certain elections are won in a fair and square manner. This is Senator Bob Dole. Republicans and responsible Democrats are strongly backing Robert Bork for the Supreme Court. But Ted is getting his orders from the special interest groups. Tune in on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Bob Dole. Responsible voices are muting the loud critics of the nomination of Robert Bork to the Supreme Court. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, people are still shaking their heads at your sour remarks about Robert Bork, the distinguished judge President Reagan has picked for the Supreme Court. But fortunately, voices of reason on the right and left are being heard loud and clear by the American people. It's no wonder your Democratic Judiciary Chairman Joe Biden, a Bork opponent, now says the odds are shifting Bork's way. Ted, former Chief Justice Warren Burger called Bork the best nominee in 50 years. President Carter's former Chief Counsel Lloyd Cutler took to the editorial pages to rave about Bork's qualifications. And Mario Cuomo said Bork's philosophy of judicial restraint seems right on target. Ted, these are voices of reason. Are you listening or just listening to the special interests?
Bob, when you talk about special interests, I reach for my wallet to be sure it's still there. Which special interests do you have in mind? Obviously, you don't mean the citizens Bork uniformly rules against when they challenge actions of the government. You must mean the business interests he always rules in favor of when they challenge actions of the government. That's not judicial restraint, Bob. It's Bork barrel justice, and it has no place on the Supreme Court. The Attorney General of New York says the only type of restraint Bork favors is restraint of trade. You're also forgetting Bork's controversial role in Watergate, Bob. The Iran hearings have reminded the country that high officials are not above the law. Bork defied the rule of law in Watergate when he obeyed Richard Nixon's order to fire Archibald Cox. The Saturday night massacre was bad enough, Bob. Let's not have a first Monday in October massacre, too.
This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on new ways to make absent fathers pay child support. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A new idea is gaining ground in welfare reform. Tougher rules on child support. In a moment, Bob Dole and I will face off. Bob, welfare costs are too high because millions of absent parents won't support their children. Even when a mother obtains a court order for child support, the father often refuses to pay. According to a recent study, 25% of mothers with court-ordered child support never get a penny, and another 25% receive less than full support. In recent years, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and other states have taken the lead in strengthening child support laws. One of the best ideas is to require employers to withhold monthly payments from the absent parents' wages, just as taxes are withheld. Congress enacted a nationwide system of withholding for child support in 1984, Bob, but it has too many flaws to be effective. Let's close the loopholes, Bob, and bring welfare costs down by making the deadbeats pay up.
Ted, thanks for promoting the Dole bill on child support. But apparently you're not up to speed on the Senate calendar. In the first weeks of the session, I introduced a comprehensive child support bill, and it's still awaiting your support. But I'm glad you're waking up to the grim realities of welfare. For too long, you were shoveling taxpayers' dollar on the problem and ended up hurting two groups of the people, the taxpayers and the welfare families. The real news is Republicans and many, many Democrats, too, are working on true welfare reform. And the key is providing incentives for work and for families to stay together. You also missed a big picture solution, an America free from federal deficits, inflation, and high taxes. Yes, a sound economy is still the best news for all Americans. That's my way, Ted. This is Senator Bob Dole. Thanks to Republican initiatives, there's good news on the job front for women, the young, and the full-time worker. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Bob Dole. The Reagan administration continues to create new jobs and new hope for millions of Americans. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, President Reagan deserves credit for some good news on the employment front. A record 126 million Americans were working in 1986, and almost 85% of those jobs were full-time, high-quality jobs. Now, I'm the first one to add that we have to create even more jobs so that no American who is able to work is out of work. But we're on the right track. One, the number of Americans over the age of 16 who are working broke an all-time record. Two, women were the biggest winners on the job front. And three, since 1981, 10 million workers have found full-time jobs. Now, we need to do much more. But 10 million new jobs sounds like progress to me, Ted. Are you willing to help President Reagan do even more?
Bob, that's an old Republican trick. Fudging the numbers on jobs and disguising the problem of unemployment. In 1981, President Reagan's first year in office, 8 million Americans were out of work. In 1986, 8 million Americans were still out of work. The way most people count, Bob, that's no improvement. Unemployment is the issue, and Reaganomics is the wrong answer. For an elephant, Bob, you have a short memory. Republican economics at the beginning of the Reagan administration caused the highest unemployment and the worst recession since the Great Depression. The jobless rate has finally come back down again now. But it's cold comfort, Bob. It's still higher than when Jimmy Carter was president. The average earnings of working men and women still haven't recovered. They're lower today than when President Reagan took office. Next time, Bob, show a little more concern about the millions of Americans working for less pay or not working at all.
This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on needed reform in the immigration laws. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The immigration laws operate unfairly against Ireland, Italy, and other nations
that have always been part of America's immigrant heritage. In a moment, Bob Dole and I will face off. Bob, Congress acted last year to halt the flood of illegal immigrants into the United States, but we forgot to remedy one of the worst defects in the law, the discrimination against immigrants from Ireland, Italy, and other Western nations. These countries have contributed to America's immigrant heritage, and they don't deserve to be shut out. The problem is that the current law tends to restrict immigrant visas to family reunification cases. So nations that sent thousands of immigrants to America in the 19th and early 20th century are out of luck today because few of their citizens meet the test of having close relatives here. How about it, Bob? We all agree on the importance of family reunification, but let's add a new category to accommodate those unfairly excluded from America's melting pot.
Ted, you and Republican Senator Al Simpson of Wyoming deserve great credit for your hard work in securing passage of the landmark immigration reform bill last year. It made sweeping changes in our immigration laws, changes designed to give Uncle Sam more control over our borders. It was a bipartisan solution to an American problem. No doubt about it, Ted, our nation is a melting pot, and immigrants from Ireland and Italy have made major contributions to this country. But Ted, if you have a problem with the law you helped shape last year, the problem you just said you forgot about, then you should write new legislation and take it to the chairman of the Immigration and Refugee Affairs Subcommittee. It's located in the Dirksen Office Building on Capitol Hill, and when you get there, ask to see the chairman. His name is Ted Kennedy. This is Senator Bob Dole. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Bob Dole. A new poll from the Midwest picks a president. His name starts with a D. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and Bob Dole, with a D, will face off. Ted, a new poll from Midwest Living magazine makes for some interesting reading, especially in the Dole household. 7,000 readers from across the heartland said that if the Midwest were a country, Chicago would be its capital, baseball would be the national pastime, and Bob Dole would be its president. So let me thank my Midwest friends for their support and confidence in Iowa, Kansas, Illinois, Ohio, and the 8 other states in the magazine poll. Yes, I'm taking a close look at the White House in 1988. And as I travel across the country, the people seem to be responding to my message of leadership. Ted, the Midwest is a special place. It is the backbone of America with its amber waves of grain, hardworking men and women, and its traditional values of faith and family. Ted, I'm proud to accept the presidential nomination.
Bob, if Elizabeth Dole asks you to bring home some baloney, just give her your script from today's broadcast. You've been known for a long time as one of the funniest politicians in America, Bob, sometimes on purpose. But if the next president's name begins with a D, it's more likely to be Dukakis than Dole. I know you're spending a lot of time in Iowa, Bob, but I wish you'd leave the fertilizer on the farms and leave it off this broadcast. It's true that the Midwest will have an influential voice in the 1988 elections, partly because of the importance of the Iowa caucuses, which will start sorting out the candidates next February. In fact, Bob, some people in your campaign have been saying that if you don't stop George Bush in Iowa, it may be all over for you. Maybe you should tell Elizabeth not to start measuring the White House drapes quite yet, Bob.
This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on the rights of workers in the construction industry. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Construction firms are violating the letter and the spirit of the labor laws by making an illegitimate end run around legitimate collective bargaining agreements. In a moment, Bob Dole and I will face off. Bob, construction workers deserve the same protection as workers in any other industry, but they're not getting it because construction firms have found a way to evade the law and avoid their obligations under collective bargaining contracts. The practice is called double-breasting. A firm that wants to break its union contract simply starts a second non-union operation and then channels work to the carbon copy. It's a sham and a scam, Bob. Yet the National Labor Relations Board buckled to right-wing pressure and acquiesced in these union-busting tactics. If the board won't stop the double-breasting, Bob, Congress should. Legislation to do just that has passed the House of Representatives, and the Senate will act soon. Which side are you on, Bob, the workers or the double-breasters?
Ted, I know the special interests are really breathing down your neck on this one. The law already protects collective bargaining and the right to organize, and Bob Dole is squarely behind those guarantees. But I'm also behind the idea that men and women have a right to work with or without a union. Ted, that's not union busting. That's America. Ted, the 50 states, their workers, and their businessmen and women should determine their own future, not big government or not big labor. The bottom line is we need to save American jobs and to keep industry from being driven overseas. As I travel the campaign trail, the people seem to agree with me, Ted. The best recipe for America, for our workers, and everybody else is a booming economy. That means no big deficits and no big taxes.
This is Senator Bob Dole. If you're fed up with soft-on-crime justice, then President Reagan's new Supreme Court nomination is for you. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Bob Dole. America's fed up with crime and coddling criminals. That's why the people want Robert Bork on the Supreme Court. In a moment, we'll face off. Ted, the people are demanding a judicial system that isn't soft on crime and won't ignore victims. Thanks to Ronald Reagan, the system is changing. That's why his appointment of Robert Bork to the Supreme Court should be confirmed by the Senate, even though you liberals are out to kill it. Ted, you should have been in Mobile, Alabama, when I spoke about Judge Bork to the Fraternal Order of Police National Convention. It was an audience of 5,000 dedicated men and women who go face-to-face with crime 24 hours a day. And they know firsthand how your liberal courts tied their hands and let murderers and drug traffickers go free. The police want a judge who will respect the law, not rewrite it to suit special interest groups. Ted, the police convention resoundingly endorsed Bork for the Supreme Court. How about you?
Bob, what you just said proves that Bork would make a good judge in a kangaroo court, not the Supreme Court. If you right-wingers have your way, there won't be much left of the Bill of Rights or other protections in the Constitution. When it comes to respect for law, Bork fails the test. He broke the law himself in the 1970s in the Watergate scandal. He obeyed Richard Nixon's illegal order to fire Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox, who was hot on the trail of the Watergate cover-up. Two other high officials in the Department of Justice stood up to the president and resigned after refusing to carry out that shameful order. But Bork went ahead and fired Cox anyway. Bork is an extremist, Bob, a yes man for the right wing, and that's why he was nominated. He demonstrated his disrespect for law and Watergate, and we don't need a Watergate justice on the Supreme Court now.
This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on new ways to encourage America's youth to participate in elections. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A bipartisan national student parent mock election is being organized to encourage young Americans to participate more actively in democracy. In a moment, Bob Dole and I will face off. Bob, the most shocking fact of the 1984 election is not that President Reagan won, but that 83% of voters under the age of 30 never bothered to go to the polls and cast their ballots. That's an ominous statistic for the future of the country. If citizens don't vote, democracy won't work. To encourage participation in 1988, an idea is now being launched in all 50 states called the National Student Parent Mock Election. The goal is to encourage students and their parents to work with school officials and local leaders in public and the private sector. They'll learn about the issues and the process by holding mock presidential elections of their own. It's the best idea I've heard to water the grassroots of democracy, Bob. Are you willing to endorse it?
Ted, if you want to talk about mock elections, Nicaragua is the place to start. But for some reason, you never make any speeches about the Marxist oppression down there. I always support expanding participation in the election process in the United States and abroad. The ballot box, that's the bedrock of democracy. That was why I fought to save the landmark Voting Rights Act and why I support freedom fighters around the globe. Ted, the right to vote is a blessing many countries don't enjoy, and that's because they're under the boot heel of communism or Marxism or some dictator. I'm talking about Afghanistan and Cambodia and Nicaragua, which makes your strange stand against the Central American freedom fighters so puzzling. Ted, it's fine to make speeches about the right to vote. It's another thing to back it up with the right votes on the Senate floor. This is Senator Bob Dole. What is Fidel Castro's unfavorite radio station? Find out about Radio Marti by tuning in to Face Off tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Bob Dole. Fidel Castro's unfavorite radio station is 2 years old. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Radio Marti, America's powerful voice of freedom to Cuba, recently celebrated its second anniversary on the air. And Bob Dole says, happy birthday and many more to come. For the beleaguered people of Cuba, it's the only way the truth will ever get through Fidel Castro's wall of lies. With 2 million Cuban listeners, Radio Marti has become a real pain in the beard for Castro. And thanks to Radio Marti, Cubans have heard for the first time the horrors of Castro's secret wars in Nicaragua and Angola. And they have heard about the spread of AIDS in their homeland. No wonder Castro calls Radio Marti, quote, the Yankee imperialist radio broadcasts against Cuba. Ted, you don't criticize Castro and other left-wing dictatorships, but won't you sing happy birthday to Radio Marti?
Bob, let's set the record straight. I supported Radio Marti from the beginning. Its performance in the 2 years since it began daily broadcasts from Washington to Cuba has exceeded both our expectations. Part of the success of Radio Marti is due to its appealing combination of soap opera, music, sports, and entertainment. Another popular feature is the personal messages beamed to citizens of Cuba from relatives living in the United States. The news operation has established a reputation for credibility that even Castro admits. Sometimes the Cuban government broadcasts Radio Marti material itself, without attribution. The biggest scoop of all was Radio Marti's disclosure that Cuba has a problem with AIDS, which forced the Castro government to disclose the truth. In the absence of diplomatic relations, the station has become an effective ambassador for the United States to Cuba. Radio Marti has had a good 2 years, Bob, and may the next 2 years be even better. This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Senator Bob Dole. The nomination of Robert Bork to the Supreme Court has smoked out the special interests, but the American people like what they see. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Bob Dole and the American people agree. We want a Supreme Court that stands by the Constitution. We don't want judges making laws or promoting Ted Kennedy's agenda or Bob Dole's or anyone else's. But that really rubs the special interests the wrong way, and they're begging Ted Kennedy to save their necks. Fortunately, the American people, or at least a great majority, know the score. They have rejected your out-of-touch big government agenda, but you're using every trick in the book to get a court that will make an end run around the people. Robert Bork is one of the most distinguished jurists in America. That's why the American Bar Association gave him an overwhelming vote of well-qualified, its highest rating.
Bob, you're wrong in your facts and wrong on Bork. The Bar Association rating was significant precisely because it wasn't overwhelming. Bork squeaked by on a divided vote with a sharp dissent. Divisions like that are virtually unprecedented for Supreme Court nominees, Bob, so the split decision is a stunning setback for Bork and the right wing, and a sure sign of even bigger trouble ahead. What's more, Bob, the ABA was only considering Bork's legal expertise, integrity, and temperament. It didn't even consider his extremist ideology, his hostility to equal rights for women and civil rights, and even his contempt for Congress. If Bork is controversial with the ABA, Bob, he'll be even more controversial with Congress because of his right-wing ideology. The hearings begin tomorrow, Bob. The whole country has a chance to see that Bork is worse than his bite. For all his brilliance, he's too far out for the Supreme Court. This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on Colorizing Black and White Films. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ted Kennedy, does Bob Dole really want to see Casablanca in colorized color? In a moment, we'll face off. Bob, it's always sad when art and money collide. That's what's happening in the controversy over colorization, the process being used to transform black and white films into color for TV. The issue is artistic integrity, Bob, not whether color is more profitable or more popular than black and white. It's a mistake to let quick buck artists exploit real artists and insult our film heritage by changing classic black and white films into color through computer colorization. It's a high-tech form of painting by the numbers. Other countries prohibit it, and so should we. TV viewers can dial the color out, Bob, but that's not the point. Artists have rights, too. Ownership is not a license to tamper with art or distort classic films. Some people would put a mustache on the Mona Lisa if they could turn a profit. You wouldn't do that, would you, Bob?
Ted, now you know how President Reagan and I feel every time you get your hands on one of our bills. How about some protection for legislative artists? But if you want to talk about colorization, let's look at the record. Ted, color the taxpayers blue for your call for higher taxes, more government spending, and more gold-plated bureaucracy. Color Americans purple with anger for your call to gut our nation's defense system and your demands that Uncle Sam sign any arms control agreement the Soviets throw our way. Color your liberals green with envy because the American people appreciate Ronald Reagan's leadership. Color your glasses rose for failing to see the Soviet threat in Central America. Ted, our listeners and I are in the pink on this one. This is Senator Bob Dole. The Dole campaign gets a boost from a longtime friend, rural America. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Bob Dole. As the race to 1988 picks up speed, ranchers and farmers climb on board the Dole bandwagon. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, last week my campaign introduced what promises to be the largest coalition of ranchers and farmers ever put together for a presidential candidate. It's called Ranchers and Farmers for Dole, or RFD. It includes former U.S. agricultural secretaries, House and Senate members, and top farm leaders from across the country, and they're going to bring in 10,000 volunteers. Let's face it, rural America is the backbone of this nation, and I intend to make certain it gets the attention it deserves in the ongoing presidential debate. I have served on the agriculture committees for 27 years, and I have the honor of representing the greatest wheat-producing land on earth. And judging by the success of RFD, rural Americans want us to keep on fighting for them.
Bob, as you know, I'm supporting Governor Mike Dukakis of Massachusetts for president, so I hope you'll pardon me if I suggest that RFD could just as easily stand for something else, rural America for Dukakis. Frankly, Bob, you've got a hard row to hoe if you expect to cultivate the farm vote and convince rural America that you and your Republican farm policies are not responsible for the hard times in the heartland that have put American agriculture through the wringer in the past 6 years. After all, Bob, it's not every day that a candidate for president gets to run on a record that includes a deep depression. As I recall, Herbert Hoover tried that idea in 1932, and things didn't work out too well for him. So good luck with RFD, Bob, but my money's on a different candidate with a better record and who offers a greater hope to American farmers. This is Ted Kennedy. Bob Dole and I will face off next on protecting the elderly against catastrophic illness. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress wants to do more, but the administration wants to do less to protect the elderly from the catastrophic costs of catastrophic illness. In a moment, Bob Dole and I will face off. Bob, elderly Americans are looking to Congress this year for long overdue protection against the financial burden of serious illness. The Reagan administration offered its own modest program earlier this year. Now, for reasons that are hard to follow, the administration has got itself crosswise with the effort and is threatening to veto broader legislation by Congress. The problem, Bob, is that the administration's proposal is too harsh on the low-income elderly, and it fails to do anything at all about one of the most burdensome expenses for all senior citizens, the high cost of prescription drugs for those suffering from chronic illness. Our Democratic alternative fills these gaps with an affordable plan, Bob. For once, how about saying yes to senior citizens and ask the administration to do more?
Ted, let's get the facts straight. The alternative you're talking about is a bipartisan plan. That means Republicans and Democrats working together for America. And I'm one of those Republicans, Ted. But I doubt that our senior citizens really care which party tries to claim credit for a solution They just need help. As a longtime advocate for catastrophic assistance, I am committed to producing a reasonable bill. Note I said reasonable. Your plan would turn catastrophic coverage into catastrophic premiums for our senior citizens. They just can't afford, and they don't need, all of your gold-plated benefits. I agree we need to help out with prescription drugs, but again, we have to be reasonable. The taxpayers and the elderly aren't about to give you a blank check on this one. Now that would be catastrophic, Ted.
This is Senator Bob Dole. Get the latest from Capitol Hill, right here on Face Off. So tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.